Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Second Chronicles chapter 30, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. For they could not keep it at that time, because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So they established a decree to make a proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem. For they had not done it of a long time, in such sort as it was written. So the posts went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, Ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. And be not like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as ye see. Now, be ye not stiff-necked, as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into his sanctuary, which he hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. For if ye turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if ye return unto him. So the posts passed from city to city throughout the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun, but they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for incense took they away and cast them into the brook Kidron. And they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. And the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of the Lord. And they stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests sprinkled the blood which they received of the hand of the Levites. For there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passovers for everyone that was not clean, to sanctify them unto the Lord. For a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, The good Lord pardon every one that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days. And they kept other 7 days with gladness. For Hezekiah king of Judah did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep, and the princes gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep, and a great number of priests sanctified themselves. And all the congregation of Judah with the priests and the Levites and all the congregation that came out of Israel and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel and that dwelt in Judah rejoiced. So there was great joy in Jerusalem. For since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So we have a passage now that speaks of another ordinance of God, the Passover. Hezekiah wrote letters then to Ephraim and Manasseh. You have to know what's going on at this time. Recently, very recently, within just a year or so, Samaria has fallen to the Assyrians. The Assyrians were that fierce, warlike tribe on the face of the earth. They were the dominant military force of that day. Babylon will succeed them later, but not yet. And so the Assyrians, well, they were the guys that put the heads of the leaders on posts out in front of the cities after they were done. They were fierce. They spared no one. They gave no quarter. And they had been to Samaria, and Samaria fell in 722 B.C., and Hezekiah speaks of that to those that are left, the remnant that is still in the land of Israel during that time. Many of them had already been taken away to various lands, scattered to the four corners of the known world of that day, because that's how far the kingdom of Assyria went. But there were some that remained. And of those few that remained, Hezekiah sent letters. He sent to them, and he said, "We are going to do the Passover here, and it has been so long since we have done it after the proper order. Come with us. Don't be like your fathers that worshipped other gods, that set up the golden calves in Dan and Beth Aven. Don't be like that. Don't be like your brethren, those that are still shaking their fist at God for their punishments that the Lord has rightly brought upon them for their apostasy. Don't be like them. Come, join us. We are going to worship the Lord our God in the Passover. Only one problem." What's the problem? We've missed our opportunity this year. The first month has gone by. The 14th of the first month has gone by, and our priests and our Levites were not ready. They were not sanctified. We were not set up. The temple was not ready. And so how can we celebrate the Passover this year? Well, there's a precedent in Numbers chapter 9 for those men that were defiled with a dead body. And they came to Moses and they said, "We had a family member die in our tent and we had to handle that dead body. Now we're unclean for 7 days. Shall we miss the Passover because of that?" Moses says, "I don't know, good question. Let me go ask the Lord." Never happened before. This is the first Passover after they came out of Egypt. And so the Lord says, "No, they can celebrate the Passover exactly 1 month later, exactly after the order." And so they had a precedent for that. And so Hezekiah, it says in this passage, took counsel. He took counsel with the priests and the Levites. "What shall we do? We want to celebrate the Passover, but the date has just gotten by us. What shall we do instead?" And the priests and the Levites and Hezekiah and the princes, they all agreed that they would follow that precedent of Numbers chapter 9 and that they'll have a Passover 1 month later, according to the order, exactly according to the order, except for that one lunar month later. And so that's what they did. And so the letters go out to the northern kingdom and to the southern kingdom. Now I hope you saw the reaction of the northern kingdom. It says that when those letters got there, they laughed them to scorn. Wow, wouldn't that be frustrating? Wouldn't that be difficult? Because didn't you read, or didn't we all read together how magnanimous and gracious and kind a letter it was that Hezekiah wrote to the northern kingdom? Didn't you hear that he was, to the best of the ability that he had as a king, trying to woo them to come and follow the Lord, rather than using his authority simply to drive them to that worship? But what did they do instead? Well, they laughed those who carried those letters to scorn. But there were a few. There were a few in three separate tribes, Naphtali and Zebulun, part of Manasseh. And so they went south into Judah, and they participated in the Passover according to the order. Notice the next thing, that the Lord gave to Judah one heart for all of Judah to come in and to partake of that Passover. And then I hope you saw that there were so many offerings and so many people coming in that they went on for a week, that they couldn't really do the sacrifices all in one day on that 14th of the second month. And so they continued all week performing those sacrifices. There were some of the people that were so eager to come to the Lord and to partake of the Passover that they let their zeal outrun their instruction, such that they came without being properly cleansed. But it was such an extraordinary circumstance that Hezekiah prayed for the people, and it says the Lord healed them. And when it says the Lord healed them, then we must understand that the Lord had afflicted them already for their coming out of order, but Hezekiah prayed for them, and then the Lord healed them. That's an important point to remember, that there were temporal judgments that took place upon the people for their not approaching the Lord as He has commanded. With regard to how they approach Him in the sanctuary, they did not sanctify themselves. They did not consecrate themselves unto the Lord. They did not wash themselves properly. And those were rituals that were required of God in the Old Testament. And because they did not do those properly, they let their zeal outrun their instruction. The Lord afflicted them. But Hezekiah prayed for them and said, "The good Lord heal them all." And He did. He healed them. So then we read also that after that week was done, the people enjoyed that communion to the extent that they said, "Oh, Hezekiah, proclaim another week so we can spend another week with the people of God and in the presence of God. Give us another week to do this like we have done it thus far." And so they did. And they proclaimed a second week. And so they went on rejoicing and praising and worshiping the Lord for 2 weeks straight. The first week in prosecuting all of the duties of the Passover, and in the second week prosecuting all of the thanksgiving and praise that they had to give to the Lord because He raised up what was in ruins among them, namely His worship and the service of God. Then notice also there was that one point at which it said that the priests and the Levites were ashamed. Did you hear that? A little weird. Why would they be ashamed? Because it was their difficulty that made it necessary for them to worship the second month instead of the first. It was their lack of preparation that made it necessary for the Passover to be delayed those 30 days. And so we learn a little bit about preparation, don't we? That they were ashamed due to their lack of preparation. And because of that lack of preparation, the tardiness with which they prosecuted the proper worship of God. So there was some shame there. Can I just say it this way? We live in a world that says shame is a bad thing. In fact, we live in a shameless world, don't we? Can I just say it this way? Biblically speaking, a little shame is good. The right kind of shame, that's good in Scripture. That's salutary. That's sanctifying. That actually helps us in our soul. All right, so then the last part, there was great joy in Jerusalem and Judah, and we note finally, this is a wonderful thing, that they stayed those 2 weeks and their hearts were turned toward the Lord. And so let me just read these last two verses. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Then the priests and the Levites arose and blessed the people. And their voice was heard, and their prayer came up into His holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. What are we hearing there? We're hearing exactly what we've been looking at today. we're hearing that God raised up a way to worship Him and called His people according to that worship. And when the people came to God, even in their imperfection, and they came with their hearts and they came with their zeal unto Him, that the Lord sanctified that worship, received it through the mediation of Christ, and received them into His presence. His ears were open to their cries. Isn't that great? Why do we crescendo up to a benediction at the end of every worship service? Because we believe that if we are a people that has come to God in sincerity, according to His commandment, and we hear His word, that He will send His Spirit, and He will indeed raise up that blessing among us, such that we finish our services with a blessing from the Lord. For those who have been under His word, for those who have given themselves to hearing it, for those who have sung unto Him with open and sincere hearts, for those who have knit their hearts together in prayer, we believe that there is a great blessing to be had in that. And so we crescendo up to that blessing at the end of every worship service. Isn't that what we see here at the end? Well, it most certainly is. Let's stand and continue praising God then.